You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of October, coming to you from Houston. What are we really asking of Donovan Mitchell? The Houston Rockets, who are they this year? And the undefeated night in the NBA. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing fabulously. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look around the league. Today's show, you can get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or you can tell your smart speaker to listen to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Tonight's Jazz game, if you have Audio League Pass, which is $9.99, you enable the NBA skill, you then should be able to tell your Alexa to play Utah Jazz basketball. Please let me know if that works. If you're on the international end of things, I believe you need to subscribe to TuneIn. That's actually like $100 a year. And if you're within 75 miles of the Utah Jazz, you can tell your smart speaker to play 1280 The Zone, or you can listen on the Utah Jazz app, stream it, or you can do it the old-fashioned way on radio. All right, I want to take a second today. And so Donovan has not started the year great. I think that's fair. He had, you know, I don't know what we expected. And I thought I would take a moment and walk through about 12 guys who are similar to Donovan over the last 15, 20 years of the NBA and see what they did and how their teams did in their second year of the NBA. Like, we've never done it. Like, we just, Donovan took this meteoric rise out of nowhere that we never anticipated last year, engaged the fan base at the highest of levels, did it with a joyousness that was contagious, made all of us who were depressed about Hayward's departure feel good about ourselves, allowed us to take this meteoric rise with him, and there's just so much kind of laden inside of it that it has never been discussed, one, that, you know, really, what he did last year was unprecedented. The last guard to be that good in a rookie year was, frankly, Michael Jordan. And then the assumption has almost been, well, he'll become Michael Jordan. All right, that one's hard for me. I'm not quite willing to go there. So let's walk through players who either have careers similar to Donovan, or players who are had the burden of carrying their team, right? So, I mean, Donovan's really thought of, I think Rudy might be, but and there's a uniqueness to Rudy's presence here on the defensive end. But if we walk, and I think kind of what tipped me off to this a little bit was we were all talking about how incredible this second year is going to be and everything else. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Durant came out and said, Donovan Mitchell is facing more pressure than just about anyone. And I thought to myself, you know what? If anyone would know, it's Kevin Durant. And so, you know, that I thought was an eye-opening comment when Durant said that the other night. Durant told Eric Woodyard of the Deseret News, it's different now because all it takes is one game and people will hype you up. I think for Donovan, he played last season as if he were a veteran, but he's still learning along the way. I think so many people put so many high expectations on these guys after a good season or a good stretch, but I think he's on that path of being a star. He might not be an MVP candidate this year or an all-star, but who knows, he might be. I'm just saying he might not have those accolades his second year in the league, but I think as you keep letting him develop and grow, you're going to get there. And then he proceeded to talk about my second year was different because we weren't expected to be a good team. We didn't have a veteran team or good talent that we expected to be good. And I didn't have a playoff run my first year. So I was kind of coming in, no pressure, no expectations, just hooping. I think he's got a little bit more pressure than a lot of us had coming in our second years. He's one of those guys that's built for it. He's from New York. There's a concrete jungle out there, so he knows how to navigate. I think he's in great system that's going to allow him to be himself, shield him from all the other BS that comes from being a star in this league, and he's going to grow tremendously, and it's going to be fun to watch. Dame Lillard, in the same really good article by Eric, the thing that I learned is your rookie year, you're kind of surprised the league. People, they say, you've got the some ability to respect it, but it's like they keep giving it to you. My rookie year, I had a mid-range pull-ups every game. The whole season, I was coming off open threes every game. It allowed me to have big games. It was simple. But then second year, it got a little tougher and tighter on the scouting report. They was trying to make me out, take me out now. The top players know I'm their competition, so it ain't all little bro no more. They're coming for you, and you've got more of a priority, so there are changes, and you deal with that. So really interesting. I thought this was a really well done. Eric does good work. He's really busting his butt. So that was in the Deseret News. And so I said, all right, well, let's go take a look. Let's go take a look at these guys. So Durant is exactly right. Durant, in his second year, and made a nice jump as a player. He went from averaging 20 points a game to averaging 25, and his effective field goal percentage went from 45 to 51. So he really made the jump in his second year, and then he made the monumental jump his third year. But his team went 18-56. Let's go back to Allen Iverson. I mean, we're talking Hall of Famers here, and almost every single guy we're going to talk about today. Allen Iverson, in his first year, same age as Donovan, went from 23.5 points to 22. He slipped. His effective field goal percentage went up a little bit. He became a little bit more efficient as a player. He went from 42% shooting to 46. His team went 31-49 when he was on the floor. Steph Curry, best offensive player in the game today. He averaged 19 points. 49-44. He was still sharing with Monte Ellis a little bit. He had a nice little jump. His effective field goal percentage went from 53.5 to 55. And when he was on the floor in the games he played, the Warriors went 33-41. Dwayne Wade. Now, Dwayne Wade's interesting because Dwayne Wade, in his second year in the NBA, adds Shaq, who's the best player in the league at the time. And Wade then becomes that. Wade jumped from 16 points a game to 24. His effective field goal percentage, which is the best way I can judge shooting, went from 47.5 to 48. He started going to the free throw line a tremendous amount more. And they were good. They were 56-21 when Wade played. So Dwayne started going to the free throw line more, but he also added Shaq, who, you know, at that point was the most physically dominating player in the league. James Harden was still coming off the bench, playing just 27 minutes a night. Chauncey Billups, who I think is a Hall of Famer, averaged 14 points, shot 39%. They were 14-31. He wasn't Chauncey Billups. Damian Lillard, who we quoted earlier. Dame was on a pretty good team. Probably the most similar circumstance. He was with Aldridge, who was probably the best player on the team at the time. Nicholas Batum, Wesley Matthews, Robin Lopez. It's a really good basketball team. His effective field goal percentage stayed about the same. Went from 50.1 to 50.8. His free throws did uptick a tiny bit. He went from 19 to 21 points a game. They went 54-28. That's the comp we're probably looking at. 23 years old, similar age, played similar role. They really made a jump. They did not in 21. In 2012-13, his rookie year, they didn't win a lot. And then they jumped and won games the next year. So that, but Dame was also the second most important offensive player on that team. I mean, I could have left Dame off this list in the sense that one of the qualifications I had was you're the lead dog offensively. He was not the lead dog offensively. That's LaMarcus's team. Kyrie Irving, former number one pick, better shooter, but has some similarities. His second year in Cleveland, his production's about the exact same. Actually, his effective field goal percentage went down from 51.7 to 50.3. He went from 19 points a game to 23. He only played 59 games before he got hurt. They were 19-40 when he was on the floor. John Wall, another number one pick. Number one picks teams are probably not great, which is worth mentioning in their second years. But it's also where these players who are going to become future Hall of Famers and stars are being asked to play, like we're asking Donovan, and so they don't have as much burden as Donovan, to Durant's point. His effective field goal percentage stayed about the same. They went 20-46 when he played. Kemba Walker, Charlotte went 21-61. When he played in games, the 82 games he played that year, he averaged 18 points a game. Derrick Rose, who maybe today is an injury-riddled player, but at the time ended up on a pretty darn good team and was going to go, ended up being an MVP a year or two later. His effective field goal percentage, virtually the exact same. He averaged 21 points a game. He had actually a very good shooting year at 49%. His effective field goal percentage went from 48 to 49. He averaged 21 points a game, and they won 41 games. Mike Conley only averaged 11 points a game, won 24 games, and Chris Paul averaged 17 points a game, played 64 games, was 31-33. Okay, so what did we find out? Well, there's a uniqueness to the Jazz, certainly, that he's on a pretty good team. And he's got Rudy Gobert. But of the 13 players we looked at, all of which other than Mike Conley, who knows what happens with Derrick Rose in the long term, end up in the Hall of Fame. The only ones with a winning record were Dwayne Wade, who had Shaq at 56-21, Dame Lillard at 54-28, with a very good and similar Portland team, and then Derrick Rose, who had Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, similar, 41-37. So there have really been three guys in the last 20-some-odd years who are second-year players on a team who are being asked to carry the entire offensive burden of their team. None of them spiked in any way in an offensive efficiency at all. Right? None of those guys did that we just looked at. They all might have gone up a tad, but nobody spiked. So the burden, your second year in the league, of being the lead dog on a good team is been experienced by Dwayne Wade, who had Shaq. So I just am not, I mean, I don't think maybe everyone listening to this remembers Shaq. Dame, good comp to that 54-28 Portland team. And that Derrick Rose Chicago team, he goes 41-37 when he plays. Those are your three teams that had a winning record with a lead dog guard scoring as their second guy, and we ran through it. So what are we really asking out of Donovan Mitchell this year? Today's show is brought to you by the Snowmobile Show. It is back. It starts on Friday. It is at the, I guess it's not the Southtown Expo Center anymore. I guess it is now the Mountain America Expo Center. It is presented by Fly Racing, Snowmobile Association, and Snow West Magazine. I'm going to tell you this first this time. You need to go to snowwest.com/Utah, SNOWEST.com/Utah to get your discounted tickets. It's this Friday from 3 to 9, Saturday from 10 to 6. And if you're looking to be riding in new gear, coats, snowsuits, pants, boots, helmets, gloves, backpacks. The Snowmobile Show is the place to see all of it under one roof. And there also are trailers, riding destinations and lodges, accessories, and also pro snowmobilers on hand. But the big deal is that every sled, mountain sled, youth sled, family sled, deep powder sled, trail machine sled, Ski-Doos, Arctic Cats, Polaris's, all snowmobiles made are at this show. It starts on Friday at 3. It's at the what used to be the Southtown Expo Center. It's now called the Mountain America Expo Center. It's there from Friday from 3 to 9, Saturday 10 to 6. Discounted tickets available at snowest.com/Utah. That's snowest.com/Utah for regularly priced tickets. You can get them at the gate. I met the coolest guy the other day. He was from Australia. They were in town to visit the United States and then see the NBA. And he took a bus from downtown to the store at 6200 South and 20th East so that he could have a mudslide cookie. And you know what? He agreed. The best cookie out there. It's at the store. It's 6200 South and 20th East. The other day, my wife was having people, my parents were in town, and we were having some people over for dinner as well. And so my wife actually went to the store, picked up two June pies, one for dessert and one for breakfast the next morning. She got a quiche for when my parents are in town. And then she bought mudslide cookies, but she had to hide them in the house because she knew there was no way that if I knew mudslide cookies existed in the house, that there was any way that they would still be around by Sunday. It's true. They're that good. They're at the store. They're at 6200 South, 20th East. They're double chocolate cookies. So if you don't need all that chocolate, there's the lemon cookie other people's like not as good, but you're welcome to like it. One of our flight attendants yesterday did not like chocolate. What is wrong with people? What a travesty to live through life like that. They also have this other cookie that's like right next to the mudslide that they claim is the number one cookie, but we're not talking about it because we are going to become the number one cookie. The store at 6200 South and 20th East is absolutely fabulous. It's got that local feel of a local grocery store for you. You walk into the left-hand side, the June pies are right there, and then you can go in the produce part, and if you look in the back, you can see them cutting up their own pico de gallo and their own salsas and the things that they make homemade for you in the back. You walk up, there's a cheese table of all the great cheeses across the country and the world that they've traveled to go see and experience and they bring to us. There's the locals table, which is all the local companies. From the honey bitter to the bitters to the honey to the they even have new cotton candy stuff. And then you get to the very back. There's the house, the chef made sandwiches and rolls and things like that for you and wraps for lunch. And then the various meats, the Haverford meats, just fabulous. And in the back, if you come back around the circle, you can come up to the front and you can get the cold brew on tap or the kombucha on tap. The Rich's bagels are there. The female friend of the guy who got the mudslide cookies, she got a Rich's bagel and thought that was pretty awesome. And you can get it all there, and then the cookies are right up front. It's all at the store. It's 6200 South and 20th East. All right, so to wrap that up on Donovan, I just think we have to make sure that we understand this year that it won't all be, you know, rainbows and, you know, puppies or whatever. That this is not an easy task. Now, certainly his effective field goal percentage last year was 51%. It's 41% right now, right? Like, so he's certainly scuffling right now. You can see him pressing. He's taking three more shots and he's making one less. And, you know, he's fine. We're three games in and he's scuffling. If he shoots 34% for the season, we've got different conversations to be had. Right now, I'm not really expecting that. I think things will open up for him as he slows down, as the game slows down. But we do need to understand that the burden that is being asked upon him, and this is where Durant tipped us off to this, is something that has not been done by many other people and is quite a ask on a kid that was, you know, the 30th recruit in the country, the 15th pick, and is not always been the number one kid in every class and everything along the way. So he's got, you know, there's a lot to it. There's the whole element of all the parts of him, you know, being the savior in Utah and all of us jumping aboard that adds a little bit to this whole experience. All right, let's talk about Houston. They're 1-2. Chris Paul will not play tonight. They are, last year, they were +5 when Chris Paul was off the floor. So they're not bad. They're not the +13 that they were when he is on the floor. They also will be without James Ennis. So they're thin tomorrow. That, I think, jumps out more than anything else. They're just not quite as sharp in their opening games. I watched their New Orleans game the other day. I actually, frankly, didn't think they tried. The word listening to Locked On Rockets with Ben DeBose after their loss to the Clippers and with his interview with Craig Ackerman yesterday, which are both very worth listening to, is that there is an effort issue going on, which is interesting. Like, they had this incredible year last year. They bound back out thinking they can just kind of go do the same thing. They don't seem – Clint Capella's numbers are good. Like, he was 14-11 last year, and they seem fine. But there's a feeling he's not rebounding, and his rebounding rate is way down. Michael Carter-Williams, who's a career 25% three-point shooter in the last 3 years, has had his effective field goal percentage under 40%, has struggled, as you might expect. They're beat up a little bit without Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight and now James Ennis and Chris Paul. So they're not quite right. They still have James Harden, who's unbelievable, right? I mean, that's but they did not. They were down 30 in their home opener against the Pelicans. They are not defending in the early days the way they did last year. Now, some of that's they faced the Pelicans. But if you kind of dig into it a little bit, last year they were 6th defensively. Now they're 23rd. And the disconcerting part would be that the two previous years they were 16th and 21st. They're not shooting it quite the way they did yet last year. Maybe they lost some guys. But they're also not going to the line anywhere near what they did. They were they've been the number one free throw rate team in the league 3 of the last 5 years. They're 25th coming in. Now, that, again, those are all of these actually are a little bit signs of this kind of weird effort thing. And I hate to talk about effort. I think it's guys usually play hard. So it's a weird thing. But I'm taking it from them and then looking at the numbers, and frankly, that kind of backs up a little bit. Of what they were saying. They're not defending the shot. They're not forcing turnovers yet this year. Now, they also played, you know, a really interesting, fast-paced teams that changed things up a little bit. They're still the same club. They're taking 42% of their shots at the rim and 42.5% of their shots as threes. So 85% of their shots are either at the rim or three-point shots. It's incredible. They're not as good at the rim yet this year. Last year they were 65%. This year they're at 57%. That's a pretty big change. They've been shooting lights out from the corner. That's because P.J. Tucker is shooting 50% from three to start the year. So that will probably change. The interesting one is some of their offensive rebounding has been very quiet and their transition is down. Cleaning the glass has a stat. How many points per 100 possessions did a team add through transition play? Last year they were number 2 in the league. Right now they're 24th, and they played 2 fast teams. So that's a little me. I don't quite understand how that stats, if that hurts them that they did that. But they are not running quite as much or as efficiently as they did before, and they're not. They're not running off live ball rebounds the way. Now, that might also be having not had Chris Paul for a game. I mean, our sample sizes are so ridiculously small. And they are the worst team in the league right now defending at the rim. That's because they played the Lakers and the Pelicans. And those two teams are running and getting on top of the rim at a really, really high rate. But they're just not quite sharp right now. But they're 1-2, and so are we. Neither of these teams wants to go to 1-3 and suddenly join the conversation of the Thunder and the Lakers and all the people that you're supposedly should be very concerned about and how they're playing. But it will be interesting to see. They're not sharp right now. Maybe tonight's the night where they plug back in, or they're not. Or on all of the shenanigans that are being talked about and Chris Paul being a bad teammate, maybe Chris Paul's worn this team out. I don't know. But that was quite a story yesterday. We'll talk about that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Shamrock Auto Group out in Pleasant Grove. I was so bummed Rob Taylor didn't make it to lunch the other day. He had work to do. You know why? Because he's got an auto dealership to run in Shamrock Auto. Shamrock Auto's out in Pleasant Grove. The signature to Shamrock Auto is two things. Three things. One, is their inventory. Barely used cars, almost new, that they can get for you. Probably mostly Utah County assault vehicles. But one of their signatures is if you know exactly what you want, you just give Rob a call and he goes and gets it for you. The number two thing I think is, and this is related, is that they absolutely pride themselves on the quick buying, hassle-free experience. And three is their incredible, absolutely incredible Google reviews that they have just anywhere you look. Anywhere you look and you go search Shamrock Auto Group and then you go decide to go look at their Google reviews, it will blow you away. That's the essence who Shamrock Auto Group is. Out in Pleasant Grove. And Rob's got a fun one for you. I know we're 1-2, but he really has high hopes for the Jazz this year. So if you buy a new car, you get a new cooler. It's like one of the Yetis, but it's not a Yeti. I got to think of the name of it for a second here. They've really done a nice job. It's a Utah company. I almost want to say it's Life. What is it called? Lifetime, 7-day cooler. Very comparable. You get that. Plus, if you buy a car or truck in October, you get a $1,000 cash bonus if the Jazz win the championship. Tell them you're a Locked On Jazz listener when you stop by. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles. Reliable sedans as well. And check out those Google reviews. Shamrock Auto Group in Pleasant Grove. All right, let's run through the NBA for a second and all the things that took place last night. So, I mean, the really interesting story is that Rajon Rondo came out, obviously bitter, and said, you know, despite what everyone says, and Rondo has the reputation of being a bad teammate, Chris Paul's a terrible teammate. Well, considering the stories we heard about the Clippers for years, that they couldn't practice together, they didn't get along, that all these various things that took place between Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul. I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing. That Clipper team, and J.J. Redick's been pretty open about it, is one of the grand, most underachieving sets of talent the league's ever had. There was something that was prohibiting them from going where they should have and advancing like they should have. And it makes you wonder when you hear that. And then Big Baby Davis comes out and says, hey, I've played with both of them, and Rajon Rondo's right. Daryl Morey comes out and puts a pot calling the kettle black about Big Baby, but not necessarily defending and saying that Chris Paul's a great guy, which I thought was interesting. And so that's where we suddenly, Chris Paul, who has just had kind of this constant murmur around him throughout his NBA career about what kind of teammate and person he is to deal with on a daily basis. And I've talked about it a lot on this show. And so the Rockets' lack of energy to open the year is, I think, has to be at least questioned in that context. Now, he's not playing tonight, so it's hard to say that the team's better off without him. He's awfully good, but it'll be interesting to see if they suddenly have a bunch of energy in that way. All right, let's run through what happened last night. As I said, as the season goes on, we'll do some other things, but I think that there's some value to checking how the league's playing, what the tempos are. Blake Griffin dropped 50 last night. Can I still be on Blake Griffin Island? Detroit beat Philadelphia. Ben Simmons did not play in that game. Markelle Fultz did. He played 21 minutes. He went 6 of 9 shooting. He had 13 points. He only took 2 threes. And J.J. Redick had 30, but there were a lot of points. I mean, there was 133, 132. Pace of play was down to about 101, so we slowed down, but the offensive ratings were both through the roof in this game. So just an offensive explosion, not a pace in that one. New Orleans, who fell behind early to the Clippers, and then came back, blasted them in the third and won it. Anthony Davis continues his miraculous year, 34 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. We watched them the other night. They sprint the floor. Guys are just sprinting out. They're playing with incredible pace. And then Anthony Davis just goes and posts up. Julius Randle goes and posts up, and then they run off of that. It's pretty interesting. They did not get the threes off last night against the Clippers, so it slowed them down a little bit. And the pace was down to 104, which is fast, but if New Orleans is the fastest team in the league, that's about what they'll be. As I've said about the Clippers, I really like them, particularly if they play Montrezl Harrell instead of Marcin Gortat, who played 23 minutes and Gortat played 12, and if they play Shai Gilgeous-Alexander instead of Beverly or Bradley, and they're not quite there yet. They're playing the four of them, though. It's a pretty good tandem. And then Tobias Harris and Danilo Gallinari, that's a good basketball team. It's a good, deep basketball team with a lot of different options. And New Orleans gets the win. New Orleans goes to 3-0. They're playing great. Jrue Holiday went 2 of 15, and they overcame it. So it'll be interesting to see New Orleans. I would be surprised if they play again before we see them. What is the answer to that? No, they play the Nets on the 26th. And then we play them on Saturday. So we can actually go to their game on Friday night if we want to. I don't think I do, but I think I'd rather go eat a really nice meal in somewhere out there. And then Denver stayed undefeated with a blowout win over Sacramento, 126-112. That game was at 100 possessions, so right back to the regular pace, but huge offensive numbers. So defenses are just not taking hold yet. Pace has slowed down. Marvin Bagley had 20 and 5 block shots for Sacramento. That's exciting. Nikola Jokic missed a shot. That's exciting, too. They had a great balance game. They just kind of ran by Sacramento. 126-112. So everybody who won last night stays undefeated. We'll check in tomorrow with you after the Jazz and the Rockets. Should be a fun one. Full docket of NBA games as well. The Luka Doncic, Trae Young game will be on ESPN early in the day for you. I think that one's at 5 Mountain Time. That one should be a lot of fun. Minnesota and Toronto is an awfully good one tonight. Indiana and San Antonio should be as well. And then the Lakers look for a win, I think, in Phoenix. If they don't get it, then panic buttons probably do click in somewhere tonight if the Lakers don't win in Phoenix like they're supposed to. So we'll keep an eye on all and see if the scoring, the pace has slowed down. The scoring is way up. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. Have a great night. Enjoy yourself. Oh, yeah, 76ers Bucks would be Ben Simmons and Giannis if they play against each other. That'd be a lot of fun as well. So a lot of good games tonight. The league's just incredible. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.